Good evening to all IGG members around the world listening to this review of John 13 to 17. My aim over the next 15 minutes is to draw together the teaching contained within these chapters and to make some pertinent applications to the current coronavirus crisis. It is one of the most appropriate parts of the Bible for us to be in at this time. Throughout John's Gospel, the hour for Jesus to leave this world and return to his Father has been coming. "The light is among you for a little while longer," he told the Jews in John 12. But John 13 begins with Jesus' awareness that his hour has finally come. John 13 verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." The following four chapters contain the teaching Jesus gave to his disciples on the night before he died. They're focused on Jesus' imminent return to the Father through his death, resurrection, and ascension. And they begin with Jesus taking up the role of a servant and washing his disciples' feet. By doing so, he gave them a picture of what his departure would achieve for them, of purposeful, humble, sufficient cleansing, without which they could have no share with him. Yet in spite of Jesus' service, you may feel both troubled and confused by Jesus' decision to go to the Father. Especially at a time like this, we wish that Jesus was here to help us. We want to know what he wants us to do. We can't help but wonder why he has left us to face things like the coronavirus alone. How is it better for us that Jesus has gone away? The disciples were asking the same thing when Jesus announced his departure to them. They believed he was the new creation king. He told them that Moses wrote about him, and that Abraham rejoiced to see his day. How could he be leaving when he'd only just arrived? How could it be better for them that he was going away? Jesus' answer to this question over the next three chapters comes in two parts. First, from chapter 13, verse 31, to chapter 14, verse 31, he shows his disciples that his departure will be better for their relationship with God. And secondly, in chapter 15, verse 1, to chapter 16, verse 33, he shows his disciples that his departure will be better for his mission to the world. Both points prove that Jesus had to leave to complete his new creation work. And both should comfort us as we seek to persevere through this global pandemic. First then, Jesus' departure was better for our relationship with God. The idea that we can know God better when Jesus isn't here sounds counterintuitive. Surely we would know Jesus better if we had seen and heard him like the disciples. But throughout his gospel, John has stressed how little the disciples understood Jesus when he was here. In chapter 12, he says the disciples didn't understand Jesus' entry into Jerusalem when it happened. Now in chapter 14, they don't understand why Jesus is leaving. He says to Philip in verse 9, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me?" The disciples had seen Jesus, but they didn't really understand who he was while he was here. But when he goes away, Jesus says the disciples will truly know him. First, they will know him in the future, when he comes to take them to his Father's house. Jesus' death and resurrection will open up the way to heaven. He will prepare a place for them there. And one day, he will come back to take them to be with him. They will live with him together in the new creation. Secondly, they will know Jesus in the present when he comes through his Spirit. In verse 16, Jesus says he will ask the Father, and he will give the disciples another helper to be with them forever, even the Spirit of Truth. This Spirit will manifest Jesus to the disciples and remind them of his words. Through his work, they will finally understand who Jesus is, and through Jesus, they will know the Father. Better still, Jesus says that anyone will be able to know him through the Spirit-inspired words of the disciples. In verse 23, he says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." This means we don't just have to sit and wait for Jesus to take us to the Father's house. The Father has already made his home in us. By keeping Jesus' words, we can know God better than the disciples did before he left. It was better for our relationship with God that he went away. For many people, the worst symptom of the coronavirus will be relational. You might have to self-isolate for up to 2 weeks. Even if you don't, our ability to meet together will be disrupted for some time to come. But while it is, we can take comfort from the fact that Jesus hasn't left us alone. He has come to us by his Spirit, through his Word. He has made his home with us, and nothing the virus can do can change that. It won't always feel better than having Jesus in person. But because he went to the Father and sent the Spirit, we have a relationship with God far greater than anything the disciples had when Jesus was here. Not only that, we can look forward to the day when Jesus comes again to take us to the new creation, where there will be no sickness, no disease, and no death. It is better for us that Jesus went away. From chapter 15 on, Jesus gives us a second reason to rejoice in his departure. Not only will it be better for our relationship with God, it will be better for his mission to the world. Again, it sounds counterintuitive. Surely more people would believe in Jesus if he was here. Surely they would believe if they could see his miracles and hear his teaching. But throughout his gospel, John has stressed how few people believed in Jesus during his earthly ministry. In chapter 6, Jesus fed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread, and only 11 people believed in him. In chapter 8, the same Jews who believed in Jesus in verse 31 were trying to stone him by verse 59. Jesus wasn't actually a very effective evangelist. Most people he spoke to rejected him. But when he goes away, Jesus says the world's rejection of him will be reversed. In chapter 15, verse 1, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Israel had been God's vine in the Old Testament, but she had failed to bear any fruit. Now the Father will make his vine fruitful by removing its fruitless branches and replacing them with new ones. These are the disciples, as Jesus says in verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches." As they abide in Jesus' words by keeping his command to love one another, they will do what Israel never could. They will bear much fruit. In verse 16, Jesus appoints them that they should go and bear fruit, and that their fruit should abide. This fruit is other people coming to abide in Jesus' vine. Through them, Jesus will fill the world with his people from his seat at the Father's right hand. By going away, he will win the nations. In chapter 15, verse 18 to 16, verse 33, Jesus explains to the disciples what this will mean. First, he warns them about the world's hatred. Those who hated the vine will hate the branches too. But then he shows them how the Spirit will overcome the world's hatred. In chapter 16, verse 8, he says the Spirit will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. By showing the world that it was wrong about Jesus and calling it to repent, the Spirit will enable Jesus' fruit-bearing work to happen. What's more, he will equip the apostles to bear witness with him by helping them to understand Jesus' words. Together, their testimony will reverse the world's verdict on Jesus and grow his vine. As Jesus concludes in verse 33, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In some sense, this work is unique to the apostles. Only they were reminded of Jesus' words and guided into the truth by the Spirit. But anyone who has the apostles' words can join in with Jesus' work. If you have a Bible, you can abide in Jesus and bear much fruit. You can bear witness in the power of the Spirit. You can join in with overcoming the world. As people have done so down the centuries, Jesus has proven good to his word. There are now billions of Christians all over the planet when there were once only 12. By going away, Jesus has filled the world with fruit. He has proven that he is the true vine, and he still is today. Reminding ourselves of this will help us keep a right perspective during the global crisis. It feels like the virus is the most important thing in the world today. But Jesus' work is of far more significance. While the world does nothing but worry, we can have confidence that Jesus is using this crisis to grow his vine. And we can join in that work by taking opportunities to speak of him to those who are afraid. The section ends in chapter 17 with Jesus' prayer. He asks for seven things: that the Father would glorify him on the cross, that he would glorify him in heaven, that he would keep the disciples in his name, that he would keep them from the evil one, that he would send them into the world, that those who believe in him through them would be one, and that they would be with him in the new creation. These prayers review everything Jesus has said will happen when he leaves, from the cross to the resurrection and ascension, to the disciples enduring the world's hatred, to their mission to the world, to people believing through them, and to all of them being with Jesus in heaven. Together, they give us a picture of what Jesus is asking the Father for as he intercedes for us now. And they give us confidence that the Father will do as Jesus asks. Even when the virus makes us wish Jesus was here, we can know that he has prayed for us in advance. When we feel anxious about what might happen, we can remember that he is in heaven, asking the Father for these things. It really is better that he is there and not here. Knowing this, we can trust what he says in verse 26, that he made known to us the Father's name, and he will continue to make it known, that the love with which the Father has loved him may be in us, and him in us.